if...
They had to work under par.
They had to work under par, you did.
No, I mean, the kind of thing that I was educationally equipped to do was not present in that small town.
I see.
So I managed to bend myself to whatever.
Just needed.
Get something out of whatever was there to be done. So I sometimes worked from one thing, sometimes worked another. I organized unions and all the plants were, because I was affiliated with the plant where I worked in Richmond. And this would make money at least, so maybe going somewhat easier for me as well.
Did he have, when did he first begin to know about socialistic principles? That you began to hear him talking about?
Well, I think that would be a hard one to answer, so far as he had not had an experience with the structure that is
did you ever have any knowledge of socialist structure in those days?
Well, I never made a face of it. The socialist structure, I always figured was bad. I was always on the side of people. God, my people's humanitarian from farther back than the history went, you know. And that is why that I felt like we had had all the... But I didn't want him to devote his life to just being a slave to the rest of the people. I had faith. Even in all this past of trying to beat this depression and all this, I had browbeaten bankers and other people who were well-versed in manufacturing and that, and to starting factories in the little town for people with I was never idle on these same principles that he would work on today. But I didn't put names to it. I
just... Any more of this? You want any more cream or
no, honey, sweetener? No, that's plenty. I didn't put names to the things I did. I call it whatever you
any
will.
Any particular doctrine, huh?
No, where I saw that people was being exploited, that's where I was to try to see that that didn't happen.
Yeah. When he was in his little church with his young friends.
How many did he have in his little church?
What would be? Well, just about every young squirt that was growing up around town.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I suppose that there was even what might have called themselves the social elite.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't pay no heed to who was socially elite and who wasn't. He said they always tried to downgrade him and that sort of thing, but I was not aware of this. And because he was always got his way about whatever he wanted to do, and now this, he'd go down and he would, on his feast days, you know, he'd go.
Did you say fish days?
On his feast days.
Feast.
He'd take the whole day going town down when I was in battle with the depression, and walk along with the grocery store, and all the years I lived there, I'd say, don't you ever credit anybody with anything. I don't run the credit. But when they'd go there and he'd go there and say, I want so and so, and I want so and so, we got it, got it. Because he was my son, and I paid the bill. Thus it was with my husband's brother. He was a ne'er-do-well in that way. And even the gangsters caught on to that they could pin him down and bring him in and get carloads of lumber. And
you mean Jim?
Jim's brother.
Oh, I see.
They'd get him and put their hands on his neck and this, here underworld.
You mean you paid his bills?
They pushed him to come there and they load up with the lumber and charge it to me the whole.
Well, if you didn't sign for it, how could they charge it to you?
Well, they didn't. Not that they ever was able to collect it. They sure didn't.
For heaven's sakes.
And it always be the gassy, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to charge it to him, sometimes his brother.
And whatever, I remember going to his business class, I could write a book on like eating the water out of those hoodlums and that backwards. I finally got him killed, the brother. He was murdered.
Hmm.
He wouldn't listen to me.
Did Jim ever display a temper at people with his? Because he has such a righteous temper when he sees something going wrong. Was his righteousness showing even then when he'd see people going astray and know they were going to go haywire? Would he do anything to try to help them and stop them from going astray?
Well, yes, I suppose he did. He'd always tell them the right way in his church, you know, and he was kind of still strange. He would talk to us about things he'd talk today to them when they get together. That's our second section of the case. And second section of the case, what would you do? You'd have, sometimes they'd formulate their own different faculties that way, you know. And he'd come out with a logical statement on it. That's what to do, and I would dare say that they'd do it, you know, really undoubtedly. That it's worth that weight.
How did he happen to start getting the tramps and things? I know you said he brought them home to dinner or something and made you pay the bill for that.
Yeah, I'd say, don't you know that this is not right?
You want to sit over in this green chair? Would you be more comfortable over there?
Oh, yeah. My head hurt. It feels sore. I get warped up when I talk to him like I did. And he was just always the one who everything that went around and everything that was. He just moved around a lot, for one thing. And of course, the day while I was out working, I'd be clear into the night, what do you think of something? I thought I'd be taken care of, and he'd care how to do it. I don't mean things like labor, you know, and things like that. He probably didn't know nothing about that. If he did, he kept it dark. But he could tell when people was troubled and things like that. That's what he had said, really, when he jumped out of that tub and took off.
Mm-hmm.
He said something was wrong with Mrs. Anderson.
With Mrs. who?
With Mrs. Anderson.
Somebody that he liked, huh?
She was an old lady. She had a few sons there in the town, and their wives, but she lived at home with somebody taking care of some of the tons. And he would always, she would tell me, when she felt that she was desperate enough to take her own life, she just had to lay there and end it like that. You know, she was beyond the age of recovery, or she didn't recover. And said, always when I feel that I'm in desperate straits, where Jim come, And he would sit there cross-legged in the midst of her bed, and she would stride upon her leg, you know, and he would hold her hand and talk to her. There's more for me than the medicine is for that doctor. So it was in these people that realized how great was this work, you know, when it was coming out. And that's how it came to be, so my religion went down again. But then
he would just show up, huh?
Yeah. Just out of lady. On this day when the visiting preacher, I particularly remember this, come to the town where he had raided the old Burke's flower garden, I guess, that raised flowers for a living. That feed went on for years with this old boy and the boys of the village. Until he never settled him down on that. But he was a little stable. He changed his whole attitude toward life. He was a religionist too all his days. But he fell out where his religion was a little amiss when Tim got to work on it.
I don't have one. It's in San Francisco.
What do you mean when this particular minister came to town? What did Jim do?
Well, he just went out and picked him some very dainty little flowers and set them up somehow with dandelions, which was much larger than that. And so he just appeared in service, half naked, with all his dog and animals behind him. There was tea and hash, you know, and he walks up in the pulpit and welcomes him out to the church and presents him a bouquet. And there was tittered and risen. The preacher liked to have himself cat fed. He got so confounded mad. He said, I don't want to hear any more funny business either.
He was talking to people in the church?
Yes, he said.
He recognized the child's sincerity.
One little finger of this child, and there isn't a whole town. That's what he said. Boy, they straightened him and face him and flew right. That was told to me, you know, by the people present.
What do you mean he showed up half naked and with all of his dogs? Didn't he like to wear clothes?
Oh, no, he didn't wear clothes very often.
How old was he then?
If it was summer, he could be sure that he wouldn't.
But he'd just wear shorts, you mean? He would wear shorts.
Unless he, for some reason, he annoyed him, at which time he would just wear them off and go home naked.
Around the neighborhood?
He walked right down that long street. One time he had the diarrhea. He said, I have a mental diarrhea. That's what he told the woman. But I asked him why I had his pants off, and there was just no water, no.
And there was just what?
No creek around him close, you know. He already left the creek, so he was making his way home. And he had diarrhea stuck on his legs, stuck with that kind. She would tell that and laugh about it. And I frankly told her that I thought she could have helped him get that stuff off of him, but he was, you know, small then. But he paused past the time of day with them if you want to know why it was naked, and so she, I suppose, had to blaze around the neighborhood peddling that tail, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But instead of cleaning him up, boy, she'd him. But anyway, this minister sure taught him a lesson that day. He just never let up on about that. He said, I had something in your midst of crackling gift from heaven, and then titter. He said, there's more religion than one of these little things. And one minister that he ever encountered in all his walks. Not only this time, but other times as well. Don't laugh when you see a miracle before your face.
That's what the minister said. You don't laugh when you see a miracle before your face.
Yeah, I said.
Was he referring to Jim as a miracle, or did Jim do something?
Well, he just brought this flower, and he come half naked and with all of his animals in his rear. He started to clear out of town, you know, to the old swimming hole or somewhere down in there where he thought he had some business to take care of. And he put with his animals. All he did was go out and let all the squaws and the animals come from all over town. There they go. And so this whole retinue, you know, is right beside him while they walked up to the pulpit.
Did he have some kind of a call that he used to gather his animals when he came out?
He just go out and squall sometimes, just let off a screech and he wouldn't say anything particular. They'd come over. If you start getting a licking, man, you could figure on being bowled over by everything.
You couldn't spank him, you mean?
No. Oh, you couldn't do nothing. Because the first squall, why everything reported. But to see what the world was wrong with things. The old neighbor across the way had a chat with nobody. Everybody heard that girl.
She had a chow?
Yeah, a chow. And I watched though, he was something else. And he never leave his premises except when Jim would go out and run off with a squaw.
Then he followed Jim, huh?
So Jim got ready to come back. He said, somebody was there talking about the dog. He said, well, have you got a dog, Clarence? Clarence says, I pay taxes on a dog. There's not any dog in this town that belongs anywhere but with Jim Jones.
For heaven's sakes. You mean he literally had all the dogs in town? My gosh, how large a city was Lynn? How many people
did
you have?
They'd go to their houses when they got through frolicking with Jim, you know. They'd go there and be fed and that sort of thing, you know. And that got to be the way the neighbors would talk about it, you know, or the people that
they pay taxes on the dog,
yeah,
and that was
so
it.
We treated him.
He's Jim's dog.
Him, but he belongs to Jim Jones, just like every other dog.
How many people lived in Lynn at that time?
Oh, I don't know how large the blame thing was. Jim probably could tell you all about that night.
Is it the size of Ukiah, or the size of Redwood Valley?
No,
or?
It wasn't. Or anything like that. There.
Did they have many stores in the town, or was it just a little grocery store?
And grocery. It was. And finally joined by a department store. They latched that on. And there was a post office across from it. You know, if I can even recall this brain thing, I said, you wanted to just sweep it back and go on, you know.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I recall the thing very well about what. That's what Jim knows that he didn't know about that. But and the skill was the not what you would call a bad one. It was pretty good for the size. What? And politics was right. I remember I was acting in politics all day because the Republican Party was in the saddle, and I was bound to other things was going to be.
Did he ever get involved in politics as a child?
He had no earthly.
He had what?
He had no interest in those things at the time.
Mm-hmm.
All that was the exploitation of the people by that was a thing that was concerning.
Of course, politics is a great exploiter.
In all ways. Well, both this faction of the party, there's no claim to virtue, I don't suppose. Yeah. A lot of time, but the Party of the Poor was always a Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And I never did, you know.
Were you Democrat then?
I was a Democrat in the way to go, yes. You have to be if you're for the people, frankly. You can't very handy be a Republican.
No, that's true.
And be the other one. Because they are from the primarily the exploiters. The people who have not are the Democrats.
Did he ever put out any little newspapers or things like
no,
that?
No, he never seemed to.
You have such a writing knack. I just wondered if he ever demonstrated any of that.
No, he didn't. I wanted him to collaborate with me many times. He never could see fit to do that. He didn't seem to be in the mind of speaking. And Marcy and me went out to do that. One time, to write a story of his life, I guess. And I know I had a lot of notes, even as busy as I was on that. But I think that I had him for a while after coming here. And I think I finally done away with him, which is really useful if I had him now. But she was going to collaborate with me, you know, and we was going. We do it by mail, really, although we were 7 miles apart. Why, I'd write when I got the opportunity, and she would.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in politics and humanitarian works of every kind, likable, besides unions at all hours of night, besides the work that I did for money.
But his was mostly with people, huh?
Yeah. His was with people. There was an old woman that had a... She was way out in the country, and he had a tricycle. It was just about the smallest size tricycle that you could get, you know. And he'd take these from that and manage somehow to haul animals that throw them out on the road, you know, and on the ditches, little kittens and dogs, and all this, and the doctor to the town, the other people of the town. They'd come along, they'd find him, they'd load up his bicycle, and these animals would be picked up and bring them home. And I remember I stopped one day and I said to one of the young doctors, I said, good heavens, how long do you think I'm going to support all this? He said, you have no choice.
You have no choice?
I said, I realize that, yes. But anyway, the doctor reached over and took a fat little puppy out and had a little thing. He must have just recently been, you know, jerked away from his mother. And he set it in my arms. And I was just saying to Jim, you know, that I have just gone the best. No, I just cannot take on any more. Mother, you should be ashamed. He realizes what you said. Look at the sad look on his face.
The puppy he's talking about.
Yeah, I turned around and looked, and the doctor, I looked up, and his face was right against mine. He says, you won, James. The one, James. I turned around, just nose to nose, you know.
You mean you and the puppy, or you and the doctor?
Well, the puppy, I was eye and the puppy.
Oh, you were eye and the puppy, and you.
And the doctor, he gets down and looks eye at me, you know, and he's peering around. And I turned around and says, you, this is over, James, you won. And then he hauled out a sack that he had in the back seat, and there was other animals in that sack.
That he had, that Jim had with him on this little tricycle mm-hmm. out along the road. My God,
how he managed to do this, I don't know.
And yet he was so tiny. If he had the smallest size tricycle, he must have been awfully young.
Well, it was just no tricycle at all. I never could figure out how he could get these gunny sacks rigged up. And I used to accuse the doctors. I'd say, I don't care.
This was before he went to school then.
Yeah.
And he was out along the road doing all this?
Yes, he'd do this, go that way.
How far out of town was it?
Oh, he'd go. God knows how far out of town. I don't know how far this old woman lived, but I had this chicken.
Would he always get home at night?
Oh, yes, he'd get home sometimes.
This woman who had the chicken, you mean he went out there to help the chicken?
He figured this old woman was abusing the chicken, and it was the poorest thing I ever saw to still live. So I rode home that night, and he suffered a horrible setback on that, because that night some varmint come up out of the woods and devoured the chicken.
Oh.
And the old woman come in, and she, it must have been a woman.
You mean a man came in out of the woods, somebody came and stole the chicken, or?
Oh, no.
An animal
yeah,
killed it.
A varmint. Because these varmints would come up there and join up with me, and they'd never go back to the woods, you know.
What for heaven's sake. What kind of varmints are you talking about?
Old possums, fox.
What for heaven's sake.
Yeah. Huh. And, you know, the flooding and stuff would take place, or storm or whatever took place out in the woods, so I could be sure to get them because they were prey to my house right there, I guess.
For heaven's sakes.
They seemed to know.
But you were a little inclined in that direction yourself, so you really couldn't blame him when you were just as bad as he was in one respect.
He got the whole sneer from me, Dad, I suppose. But at the early age, I was not able to do the remarkable feats he would about recovering. Although I was being oldest I can, but they instruct me to stay at home or attend the parties, and they'd bring me up at 110, and I'd do just like him. I'd just go out in the woods and hang the rigs on the fence and walk all the way in there, you know, with maybe some of the little fence. And there was all kinds of dangers around when I've done that. There's even big cats in the woods.
Did he ever bring home any animals like that, like the big cats? Did he ever?
Well, let me see. We've had so many.
Did he ever have bobcats or anything like that for pets?
Yes, he had everything. He didn't have any misses on that. Like the game warden one time. The game warden wanted me to quit everything else I was doing and wanted to take his job for some reason. He gave it up, you know. And he wanted me to do this because we had feuded for years yet, because he was always wanting to put my animals, as the law said, they should go in a cage, they should be liberated and all this sort of thing. And every time he'd come, we'd get in an argument, my animals would spring on him. Lord, the coon baby bit into the bone and
Because did he? The coon baby?
Yeah, the man you would have thought was his fighting with the purple passion. Instead, well, every time he had a problem in the woodland, he'd come out, you know, to talk to me about it. So when he got to the point where he had to give up the thing, he said, I just can't bear. I mean, there was tears running off his face. I just can't bear for anybody to do this. But you said you're the only person I can think of that ever really should be done it. He was really careful with them. But he found out that he couldn't break an animal's friendship with me and his desire to belong to me. He couldn't break this, you know. So over the years there he was, a combatant over that. He put the coon baby on me in the cage, you know, and I just stand there and watch him eat. This time, I'm going to promise you to the full extent of the law. I said, oh, well, I'll cross the bridge when I get there, you know. I wouldn't be able to carried away about it before you get out of sight, of course. The coon baby cried, and I let him out of the cage. And I wasn't supposed to have the coon baby under the law. And he got away one time, and got lost, the coon baby did, and he, and I was working, you know, just all kind of shifts at this time, So I knew a coon hunter, and I said, I'll tell you one thing you've got to do for humanity, and that's one thing besides kill something. I want that coon dog, and I want to take him with me to track down a coon dog, because I think maybe something's going wrong with his sense of smell or something, and he can't get back to me. He says, I borrowed that coon dog, but I cannot let you have it. And I said, you might as well, because if you don't, I'm going to kill that coon dog, because I could have him right this night. And it was, just, you know, it was a co-worker that I worked with, and I had ridden with this bunch of people to the job.
It was a, what you had worked with?
They was co-workers.
You know, oh, I see.
He was kind of a bashful fella, you know, and I said to him, I just might as well let me hit him because I've got to have a coon dog. I'll tell you frankly, I've got to have
it. Did you find your baby coon?
But somehow or other, he managed out due here or something happened that I couldn't get to the outskirts of wherever he was with the hound dog, you know. And so I had a pet rabbit. And I went up and talked to this rabbit, and I said, now you know the coon baby's gone, because you missed the coon baby, and I'm going to let you out of here, and we're going to hunt the coon baby. And by God, I was written up, I think, in every paper from there to the coast about that scrape, because I let my rabbit out, and he tracked the coon baby.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, he walked right after the coon baby, and the coon baby ran his nose. Coon baby was as big as I can remember marshaling the whole of the coon baby in her hand. It was a giant. And the game warden and everything swore they'd never seen a coon the size of her. And she would hold him, you know how tall she is. She would hold him up here, and his tail would be.
Why, for heaven's sakes. How, did he ever run away again? He didn't. How did you get him to start with? Did he come in from out of a storm or what?
I did get connected. I had several, you know. He must have just come because that was usually the name I took. This game warden, when he'd come, you know, he said, they belong out there in the forest. I said, that's not the way they see it. They bloom out there when something went wrong, then they come to their friend. And so you can't take them back.
Did Jim ever play with the coon baby?
Oh, yes, yes. He was just like a kitten.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
really? No, Jim would tease him. That was it. When Jim would tease him, he'd go, you know, coon baby gets mad. Bobby. And so, and he went to college. Well, he went with Mama Cunningham, come back.
Coon baby went with them on a... Oh, my God.
No.
Poor Marcy.
Anna. She certainly wasn't oriented toward animals such as we was, but she bored.
Where did they go for their honeymoon?
Good heavens, I don't know. They might have even been on their way down back to college on their honeymoon. I don't know which way they went on. But anyway, it was a scrape every stop they made, you know, they had with the animals. Mrs. Somebody was all triggered up for the wedding, too. I had her picked up. Mrs. Mouse, I believe, attended the wedding.
Mrs. Mouse?
Uh-huh.
Is that another animal that you had?
Yeah, it was Mrs. Mouse. She was the cleverest creature you ever
had. Did you put her in a cage to take her to the wedding, or what?
Yeah, I picked her little thing for her.
And Coon baby attended the wedding?
He attended the honeymoon. I don't know just where he was for the wedding.
Who besides Mrs. Mouse attended the wedding, pray tell?
I don't know whether Coolamunda went on the wedding either.
What is a Coolamunda?
Well, he's from Africa, and he was one of the really old men. Leg next door, you know, that you start, but she liked to drop dead. She opened her bread box, and there he was, peering up at her because she didn't have anything in there for him to eat. You know? That made their strange animal. They don't look like anything
so mangy, begin to holler and scratch.
How do you spell that? C-O-O-L or K-O-O-L? Kulamanda?
I think it's K-O-O-L.
Hmm. And it's an African animal?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a dog or like a rat? Like a possum?
I'd say
like a cat?
They'd be kind of on the order of rodents.
A rodent?
Only they're as big as coon, maybe.
Huh.
But he's not out this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was not so beautiful. But anyway, he was with me in the first residence, I think.
He was.
Then
where did they get married? In a church, or? Did they get married in Lynn, in Richmond?
In Richmond, Indiana. They had a double wedding. Her sister was married at the same time.
Hmm.
But let's see, this old woman has been about this chicken. Well, she come back and, oh, God, she was armed with a knife and everything else. And she jumped me and she was going to have that chicken back. And I give her a chicken. I don't know. I can't seem to remember the details of that, and I can't think of myself of giving her this chicken either. But anyway, that seems to be all I remember. Somehow, this animal had killed this chicken that wouldn't have lived anyway. And I give this old man this chicken. This is the way I remember it, although I don't think it could be right that way, because I don't see myself ever turning over anything to that old man, old woman. But either that or I made some kind of a deal with her to get rid of her. But the way I remember it is that Jim went and recovered his chicken.
And you mean the one that you gave her?
Yes, I seem to remember giving
her. He went and got it back, huh?
And I didn't know. I don't think it's tragic when he lit out.
Oh my God.
So you know, if there's ever any, I soon learned that you didn't report him missing or anything like that. And boy, if you did, you was in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in the first place, there wouldn't have been any soul in town that would have believed that he was missing. I really believed that he wasn't off on business at the time. And that he was had ever encountered anything that he couldn't master, he would have been too much. So I learned better than that. But anyway, the raccoon wasn't. I had prowled up and down the railroads and done everything imaginable. No coon baby, but coon baby was right out in the back yard, not half a dozen jumps from his own cage. He was under a pile of lumber.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And when I walked by there encouraging the rabbit to hunt the coon, the rabbit just paused just right up to that stack of lumber. Stuck his nose down like that, and I hurried over there, and they was rubbing noses. Neighbors in their house.
My gosh. That's cute.
Now it makes me homeless. I don't think I've got any done medication.
Can I help you, or do you need some medication in town? Do you need me to go get you something?
No, yesterday I got sick in town. I had still to get medication, so I went and got it. I had Mrs. Taylor with her.
Do you have it at home, or do you have it there?
Yeah, at home. I take it most any time in the afternoon. But
you want me to drive you home? Julie can come back and pick me up.
No, I'll have to.
You're having a problem.
Get something to eat, that's what. You like to have some,
you want some bread and peanut butter or something like that?
We've
got some good whole grain bread there.
It usually has to be meat.
Oh, meat?
Brings me out of
do you want me to go, is there any kind I can get across the street at the store?
So
Does lunch meat help or anything like that?
It does. If I can stand to eat it, sometimes I can't bear to eat. But I guess.
What about pastrami or beef like that? Would that help? Or chicken? They've got the chicken lunch meat over there, you know, the pressed chicken. Can you use that?
Maybe one of them might.
Couldn't you go over and get me some chicken?
Sure. It's just. Or maybe the beef rather than the chicken.
Rather than the beef.
Yeah. And my purse is downstairs.
That's all right. Any special kind of beef that you wanted? Like
no, I think it's good. So
what's that?
Pastrami,
yes. Pastrami,
okay.
You like pastrami?
If she got some, man.
I'm going to run and get some fresh pasta so you can hear some of this.
Well, this so it's meat, it's protein, I guess, is what that is.
Yeah.
It just runs out now.
I'll let her run and get that because you shouldn't be running around with it.
That's the hell of it. I can't remember that for him when I get that. I just stayed on the street. And it so happened that this is
it would be my recommendation to you that you're not going to stop her. I personally feel that it's anything that has a limitation to it. I don't see any limitation.
I don't feel
that there's
any limitation to it either.
Personally, I feel that he has all the power of the universe in every cell in his body, and he somehow found the means and the method of totally releasing it. No, he's downstairs.
You know, there's always a reason behind the use of it, you know.
Oh, I grant you that. And he is so careful in the use of it that he doesn't misuse so much as a tiny hair of it.
No, I don't think he does. I don't know.
That is probably the, well, it's got to be the reason why it is so infinite within him.
And I know that when I was, this year test, I felt like that damn test that I took was a killer. And that normally I would have died under that. But I felt it just threw it out that that was going to kill me, that test.
Hmm.
And they kept saying there was only 1% risk. Next thing was 2% risk. The next thing was 5% risk. And I said, let's just pay it 95. I said to the doctor, my mind made up to take it. It's 95% to just get this 1 ounce of red.
What test was that, Lynetta?
The more I went on that table to see what, so they could try to isolate the block, you know. And the
where's, you mean in your, oh, in your circulatory system, yeah.
And there wasn't anything.
Somehow, I don't know, I think there's an energy field that flows around him that we are affected by, even by our thoughts. I've noticed myself that if my thoughts are not as they should be, that my vitality lags, that little things go wrong with my health and everything else, but when I manage to pull them up to where they belong, then there's no explaining the vitality that I feel, and I have the strength to get things done that I never would have been able to do. And I don't know what it is in his aura that permeates us the way it does, but there's something that it's like he's here even when he's in San Francisco or Los Angeles. It's like there's a portion of him that is here with us at all times, and I can't explain it. It's whether it's in his mind, whether he has such a connection to universal mind that he is everywhere present, or what, I don't know what it is. But he has, he's come out and commented on things when he was nowhere in the vicinity.
Yeah, no.
And I have felt his presence at times when I was in deep trouble, just as clear as if he was sitting right in the same room with me. I mean, I'd suddenly be conscious of the fact that I wasn't alone, you know.
Well, yes. But for some reason, I don't feel the... I mean, I can't describe anything in the same way.